The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Henry Luce Foundation for Increased Understanding of East and Southeast Asia. Funding for Detroit coverage on The Takeaway is supported in part by the W.K. Kellogg Foundation.
Good morning, everyone. Thinking about President Barack Obama's base as we head into the 2012 election, look at some numbers here. August's Gallup numbers say that only 41% of U.S. adults approve of the way President Obama is handling his job. It's the so-called approval rating, and it's at the lowest monthly approval of his presidency to date. And some of the most significant declines come from the African-American community, a group that, of course, is part of that Obama base, solidly supportive of the president, 90% and upwards. President Obama made a speech in front of members of the Congressional Black Caucus at an awards ceremony in Phoenix, Arizona over the weekend. He spent the evening pitching his jobs bill to the caucus and attempting to rekindle support for his leadership just ahead of the election campaign.
Pass this jobs bill and every small business owner in America, including 100,000 black-owned businesses, will get a tax cut. You say you're the party of tax cuts? Pass this jobs bill.
You can hear it. The fire is still there. But what about the support, particularly among the base constituencies that are so responsible for President Obama winning the first term in 2008? Joining us, two voices very important to this program, Patrick Henry Bass, Takeaway contributor and senior editor at Essence magazine. Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning, John.
Also, Farai Chidea, an independent journalist who blogs at Farai.com. Good morning, Farai.
Good morning. Good to be here.
Nice to talk to you. Got the Skype working this morning?
Absolutely.
To both of you, what do you think is going on here? Is this a case of a certain kind of incumbent fatigue that we haven't seen before? Or is it just the economy stupid, John? It's as simple as that. Farai?
It is the economy, but it's also about expectations. I mean, I was at the inauguration, and one of the things that I noted that, you know, makes me one of millions of people to have noted it was the enthusiasm of African Americans for a historical moment and a historical president. And so what I think that we're seeing here is a clash of expectations and reality. The president really is in a Scylla and Charybdis position. Unless he acknowledges the special and deep problems of African-American joblessness specifically, which are rooted in many different trends, including the decrease in public employment, then African-American voters will be disappointed. But if he does acknowledge that, he faces a barrage of fire, particularly from the right, but not just from the right.
Harvard Classics background coming there to the fore, Farai.
Absolutely.
And
I'm not ashamed of that.
That's the rapids that if you get too close, your boat cracks up, right?
Absolutely.
Patrick Henry Bass, your response either to the Classics reference there or to what you think is going on.
Well, I'm proud of my Pratt Institute education, and what I feel is that when Obama appears that he's out of touch with his core constituency, that's a huge problem. And you were talking about the fieriness of his speech to the Congressional Black Caucus, very, very important group there, given the fact that one of his key members, Maxine Waters, issued the opening salvo about Obama's out-of-touchness with the African-American community about 3 weeks ago when he launched his jobs tour through the Midwest and didn't visit one city in the Midwest where there was a large African-American population. And in that speech last night, he talked about marching shoes, but he also referenced bedroom slippers, which I felt was a bit out of touch. I felt that was an attack that sort of mirrored, you know, Bill Clinton's attack on Sister Soldier, where he was sort of feeding lines to, you know, white voters and to some of those independents. And I thought that was a bit odd that he would, you know, talk about bedroom slippers, which would reference African-American women, given that African-American women had the highest voter turnout of any group in the 2008 election. So there are some signs there that he is a bit out of touch with his core constituents.
So he's missing sort of some key linguistic points there, as you suggest, Patrick Henry Bass. And Farai, of course, the issue of the economy with African Americans needs to be acknowledged, perhaps even stronger. Let me ask both of you something that, you know, I have a little difficulty even phrasing the question here. But is there a sense, we heard this during the campaign, that there was a real sense among African-American voters that, uh-oh, this could go really wrong here, a predisposition to being demoralized. Well, that's what's going to happen to the first African-American president. Is there a worry that this is the narrative that, of course, would happen and that in some sense makes a kind of hesitation for African-American voters who are really concerned about the economy? Patrick?
Well, I think what the Tea Party's rhetoric, I don't think anyone was prepared for how vitriolic that would become. And I think some of the coded language and the fact that you have an African-American president who isn't seemingly supportive of issues that are germane to the African-American community, that are germane to everyone, jobs and, mortgages. You know, it appears that he, to many African-Americans, that he, cared more about Wall Street than he did about Main Street or about Front Street or Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. And he has to get that back. But no one could have predicted just how vitriolic the atmosphere would be with the Tea Party.
Right, today, is this a style question or is this a political savvy question in dealing with the base?
It's both. First of all, there's a deep need. You know, many, many groups that historically have had tensions with power, including African Americans, look for the basic validation of grievances or acknowledgement of them. So I think part of this is seeking an acknowledgement from the president, which frankly may not come. The other part of the issue is that with this last election, it was almost inevitable that you would see some readjustment in attitudes because so many new voters and so many non-traditional voters entered the system in 2008. And I think to a certain degree, people who vote all the time get a little battle-hardened to the fact that politics is not pretty. People who are first-time voters or on-the-fence voters may be a little more shocked by, how unpleasant things can get.
Last 30 seconds for both of you. Do African-American voters have an option other than to stay home as the 2012 election moves forward? Fry and then Patrick.
I do think that voting with your feet and staying home will be the vote of choice for some.
Patrick Henry Bass.
And I think that many African-American voters are going to continue to raise their voices to make sure that their issues are heard.
And that will be a theme in the coming campaign. Do you think that's going to be in the primaries? Do you think that's going to be at the Democratic convention? Where do you think we're going to hear those voices, Patrick?
I think we're hearing those voices in barbershops and beauty parlors now, and we're going to continue to hear them as the primaries continue to kick up.
Consistent with your neighborhood up there, Farai?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I live in Crown Heights, and there's a lot of discussion of the effects of persistent joblessness, which are physical, mental, affect communities. This community is doing better than a lot of them, but there are communities like the one I grew up in Baltimore, where the entire community has felt a ripple effect of persistent unemployment.
Obama and the base, a discussion with Farai Chaday, independent journalist who blogs at Farai.com, and our good friend Patrick Henry Bass, takeaway contributor and senior editor at Essence Magazine. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.